This is Right From The Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
Right. As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you,
encouraging you and equipping you to find your truest story in the deep places.
Get our show notes and more, including a free audio download on how to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
Hey guys, here's what's happening at Write From The Deep.
First, thank you. Big, huge thank you to all our patrons on Patreon. You guys help make this podcast possible. And if anyone out there wants to add their support, you can visit patreon.com. That's patreon.com/writefromthedeep. We'd appreciate it.
A special thanks to our April sponsor of the month, Christy Bass Adams. Thanks, Christy.
Yes.
She's the author of a devotional titled Learning as I Go, Big Lessons from Little People, and a middle grade novel, The Adventures of Cricket and Kyle, Imagination Checkers. She's also a speaker and leads women's conferences and Bible studies. And she's a monthly contributor to Inspire a Fire and a newspaper columnist for Green Publishing. Find out more about Christy at her website, CHRISTYBASSADAMS, ChristyBassAdams.com.
Thanks, Christy. And today I get to tell you about my wonder. And so, not that long ago, Alan and I were on a road trip. It was really fun. And then we had the day where we're like, oh, we got to drive home. And it was a pretty long drive for that day. We had to go through like three different states. And I'll tell you, when you're doing that, like, you don't necessarily think about what the weather's going to be like three states away. So it was beautiful when we left, you know, Tennessee in the morning, but not so beautiful when we were arriving at St. Louis, Missouri. There were storms all over the place. And I was telling my husband, I was looking at the little radar on my phone, and I'm like, okay, we have to drive fast enough so we get past that storm that's right behind us and it doesn't catch us, and we have to drive slow enough so we don't catch up to that other storm that's at the hotel. Oh, wait, it's a tornado warning. We don't want to come to the tornado warning. And it was just this little dance. And I was like, okay, slow down. And my husband would be like, yeah, there's traffic, so I'm not going fast. So it was just fun how it worked out, because we didn't get hailed upon and we didn't get, you know, blown away in a tornado. And I was very thankful for that. But here's the thing. Through the whole thing, I kept thinking about God's power. We can see that in the weather. Like, it's immense. It's strong. I saw pictures on the news later of hail that was almost the size of a baseball. That's powerful stuff. And yet, we don't have to fear, because God is God and sovereign over that power. That's not chaos happening beyond his control. He's not like, oh dear, there's a storm. He is in control. And I thank him for his grace and mercy. We were not harmed in any way in that. And I know sometimes that happens, but that's part of God's grace and mercy too. He will take care of us if that should happen. But at the end of the day, God is not a tame God, y'all. He's not, but he's also completely in control, and he loves us so much more than we can imagine. And that's a wonder.
Amen. And now, here's the show.
Welcome, listeners. We're delighted that you are here with us today. We have an interview, a guest. Yay! I'm going to let Karen Ball introduce her.
We're so delighted to welcome Karen Stiller to the podcast. She's the author of The Minister's Wife, a memoir of faith, doubt, friendships, loneliness, forgiveness, and more, and the co-author of Craft, Cost, and Call, How to Build a Life as a Christian Writer. She's an award-winning writer whose work has appeared in Reader's Digest, The Walrus, Ecstasis, Christianity Today, and many other publications. She's a senior editor of the Canadian magazine Faith Today and hosts the Faith Today podcast, where she has interviewed wonderful thinkers, leaders, and writers like Philip Yancey and Anne Voskamp, pretty impressive. Karen's work has taken her to the South Sudan, Uganda, Senegal, Cambodia, and across North America. She's also moderated the Religion and Society series at the University of Toronto, a debate between leading atheists and theologians. Again, pretty impressive. Karen loves to teach writing and coach writers on their journey. So welcome, Karen. We are delighted to have you here.
Thank you so much. And I just the way you two talk and introduce the show, the lilt in your voice, it just lifts a person's spirit. So I always enjoy that.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, well, we're glad.
Our hope is always to encourage and to, in a way, be chaplains to writers so that we can let writers who are struggling know that they're not alone and that, you know, God's got them.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Chaplains to writers. Love it.
So, Karen, what does the deep mean to you?
Yeah. That is such a deep question. It really is a challenging question. And I think it changes. I think my answer today is probably different from the answer I gave a couple of years ago or several years ago, even when I was on your podcast for the first time. But for me, when I think about the deep right now, I think about the place from which we experience our deepest longing and yearning, pain and hope, and the place of our deepest honesty and transparency, and hopefully, because of all that, the place that we write from.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah. How can we write without transparency? I don't know. What is it?
Oh, we can write. It just won't connect with anyone.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, one of the cool things that's happened recently for Karen Stiller, she has a new book out called Holiness Here, Searching for God in the Ordinary Events of Everyday Life. And I was looking at the book description of that, and this is one of the quotes. It says, "Holiness is a search that marks the life of a Christian." So to me, I'm starting to think, well, how does that work for Christian writers? So what do you think, Karen? How might that look specifically, our search for holiness as writers? Would it look different or the same? Or
before I answer that question, there's something about subtitles here that I want to say that I think other writers will appreciate, maybe. I went to a NAV Press, that's my publisher for Holiness Here, author retreat last year, and no one could remember their subtitles because they were all so long. And the publisher who was there made, like he said, that's a thing. Writers can't remember the subtitles because usually the publishers come up with them anyway. So they're not of your own creation. So as I listen to you give those two quite lengthy subtitles, I always have to look up, especially the minister's wife one. I always have to look that up to get the order right. Anyway, I just think.
Oh, that's because of like descriptions and SEO, and they want to put keywords in the subtitles. It's a whole thing out there, y'all.
It actually has very little to do with you or your book.
That's true too.
So I just didn't want to forget about that as we carried on our conversation. So. Yeah, the search for holiness, I know and I understand theologically that we are holy because God has made us holy, and that our holiness as believers comes from the fact that God is holy and has said that we are through our relationship with Jesus Christ. But when I talk about searching for holiness, I'm thinking about the desire we have to live differently because of what we believe and what we've experienced. And that sometimes we might think that we're actually not living and loving all that differently. And we may wonder, what does it mean that I'm holy? And we sometimes, and I've seen this through my years as a minister's wife in the church, I think this is really common, that we actually don't think we're holy. Mm. And we reject that title or that word because it feels, you know, no, first of all, no one wants to be quote unquote holier than thou.
Right.
And also it feels so other from how we know ourselves to be, you know, often on the inside even.
Right.
So I will just preface that in that way. So I think as a writer who is perhaps trying to write spiritual things, if that's the case, and not every Christian writer has to be writing, you know, Christian romance or spiritual formation books. Of course, we know that. But I think we want to make sure that we are writing, you know, to me, like that honesty, that transparency. We want to honor our God and our faith for sure. We want to be true to ourselves and what we know of God in our lives. And I think for me personally, it really is about the honesty piece. I feel that the vocation I have is to write as honestly as possible in the Christian space, which doesn't, you know, and there should be nothing special about that. I'm not implying that there's anything unique about that. But for me in particular, that is what I do and what I try to do and what I'm called to do. So I think that that is, you know, very, very much a part of how we are holy as writers. So there would be some individual elements to that about how we live about what we are called to write about. But yeah, let's start there.
I think it also is important for us to recognize that holiness is not something, in essence, it's not something we can attain. Holiness is, it comes to us by Christ's blood covering us, and it's his holiness that the Father sees, not our holiness as individuals. We can live holy lives, and I'm putting quotation marks around that, as we emulate and follow what Christ has told us to do. And again, it's his holiness. But for us to try to attain holiness, I think, is a distraction that the enemy has put in our hearts and minds, because we do feel so inadequate. With good reason, because we are all sinful, and being sinful and being holy seem like such contradictions in terms. And yet Christ, the intermediary, has come in and he has covered us with his holiness and his blood. And so we need to rest in that. We need to embrace that and then follow him and submit to him in our writing and in our lives and say, lead me here. And help me to hear your voice and see your guidance, because we too often get confused and distracted by what's working in the market and how do I do deep point of view? You know, all of these aspects of being a writer that can come and interfere with our primary focus, which should be on Christ.
And I think that if, for me, paying attention and being very mindful of what is happening inside of us, actually, as we think about these things, is important. So I may say out loud, and I mean it at the time, that I'm not going to chase the market, and that I'm not, or that I'm really, truly cheering on another writer, that I'm not jealous or envious of their success. And I know that's right. But then on my gut may be feeling something a little different. My heart may be feeling something a little different. And as we pay attention to what's sort of happening on the inside, that does help our sinking into and living out of the holiness God has given us, because then we can just be, you know, we can repent. Yeah. We can say we're sorry. We can. And I, you know, a big part of my book is that we do grow, actually. We do change. We do grow closer to God, you know, through the arc of our life of attempt at faithfulness, and, you know, through our spiritual disciplines, through our attempts to live out of our holiness, which I believe, you know, God has told us to do and asked us to do and shown us how to do. And, you know, quite specifically in some cases, like I have a chapter on hospitality, and I, you know, kind of playfully say that Jesus, you know, actually gives instructions for a dinner party, you know, who's to sit where and who should you invite? So there, that we are, something is required of us. Yes, it is 100% grace, but in our response, we find our, you know, sanctification. And that is really important. We are participants with God in our faith journey. And so when I think about that then in the life of a writer, I think it has all kinds of implications for, you know, our posture toward our writing. I have been thinking lately about how our posture impacts our practice. So humility, you can't talk about holiness without humility. And so humility helps our writing, because it means that we are open to showing it to other writers. We're open to the editing process. We embrace revision because we know it's not right the first time. We know other people have good things to say to us about our work, and that makes our work better. So, you know, there's all kinds of implications for that. Collaboration with other writers, how we pour into the writing community, you know, all of that, all of the good ways of doing that are, I think, could be viewed as acts of holiness. And it just helps in everything.
Yeah, I love that. I also am interested, just to double back a bit here, when you said that you run across a lot of people that doubt their holiness. And when I think about that in terms of writers, I think that would make them doubt their qualifications to be a Christian writer. And so I love what really both of you are saying, because it's Christ's holiness, and yet we also have a responsibility to take part in our human way, to work as we can, to you know, walk in faith and do those acts of faith and those works of faith that prove that we are followers. And we'll never do it perfectly, obviously. But I think about writers out there who may be doubting, and we don't have to doubt that. That is one of the lies that writers might be susceptible to.
You know, that reminds me of a scene I have in the book where, and I can't remember which chapter, but I had this lovely moment with a younger writer where she was, you know, going through that phase. And we go through like, am I a writer? Can I call myself a writer? You know, when do I get to call myself a writer? So, and this conversation between us happened in the sanctuary of our church. And I, you know, again, I was maybe being a little playful at them when I first opened my mouth. And then I realized, no, this is an important moment. I said, Hannah, I pronounce you writer.
Right.
You are a writer. And I could tell, you know, because I was had been in a bit of a mentor role with her, and I was an older sister in Christ, it felt special. And she still refers to that moment as being, you know, that she just needed someone bossy to tell her that.
And someone to validate.
Yeah. And but in the book, I draw a parallel with our sense of our own holiness, our acceptance of our holiness, that because once you start to say, I'm a writer, people actually start to expect some writing from
right.
And if you live, if you believe what God says about us and how beloved we are and that he has made us holy, so I'm holy and you're holy. We are all three of us on this conversation are holy. And it, that feels ridiculous to say and off-putting and but when we view ourselves that way, then we can start to act a little differently sometimes in response. And so that's can be an adventure. Like that's, I'm really trying to shift the thought of holiness away from a big, heavy thing and make it, you know, just like consider it as a warm invitation from God to for a life of adventure and beauty and love. And I think that's a valid way of looking at holiness, and it's a valid way of looking at the writing life.
And you know, I love when you said those words to that person, because you were speaking truth. I think as writers, we should be more aware almost than anyone else of the power of words. Words are powerful things, and words have truth. And we pray. Those are words that make things happen via God. You know, he's doing these things, but he gives us words that we can use to take part. So I love what you're doing there. And for you guys who are wondering if you're writers, yes.
Yeah. We pronounce you writers.
That's right. And so you can walk and act in such a way as that. Now, we may have touched on this a little bit. What do you think then that holiness has to do with money and work as it comes to writing?
I'm trying to think if the writer has a specific, you know, angle to that. Like in the book, when I talk about money, partly I share my own journey with worrying about money and, you know, and wanting more of it. And for me,
that's common to anyone.
Yeah. And so like in my writing life, I was looking for a job, so to speak, that I could do around the raising of my children. And, you know, I was very fortunate that being a mom helped me become a writer. Like I credit my staying at home with my kids, which, you know, wasn't like a privileged choice. I mean, maybe some people would say it was, but my husband was a priest, an Anglican priest. We were not a high income family, but we had just always lived at a certain level from student life into having children. So we weren't used to incomes ever. So we didn't have to do all that, you know, hard work of shedding things or whatever to be able to afford that. So I was able to build up my writing life over the years as my kids' schedules allowed. And I was trying to make a living. I was trying to bring more money into our household to pay for ballet, to pay for hockey. And I was ambitious. Right. I had a, you know, I used to call it like a ball of fire in my belly, which, you know, people talk about in maybe good and bad ways. I really wanted to have a writing life that paid money. Yeah. And I think sometimes that was probably not fueled by the right thing, but sometimes it was. It was fueled by a desire to care for my family and contribute. So I think that honest self-examination piece, which is, you know, in any most denominations across the board, I mean, I think Catholics and higher church traditions are really good at this. There is an emphasis on self-examination on the path of holiness. And so taking time to think, what's going on here? What am I actually thinking and feeling and doing? And why is that? And where is God in it? And, you know, where can God be more in it? And I think for me, money, that's where the rubber often hits the road. And what, you know, any writer who's published a book, you know, a traditional book knows that at some point you normally at least sit down with on a Zoom call now with your agent and the publisher and maybe the editor and you have a conversation, you know, prior to the book contract signing. At least that's what I did. And I remember the publisher saying, money, like what, because that was one of my proposed chapters, of course. What does money have to do with holiness? You know, it may have been a rhetorical question. I don't know. But I was like, oh, well, for me, it's had a lot to do with holiness because I've had to, you know, wrestle that monster to the ground.
Yeah.
And I have good friends who don't have any issues around that at all. And so, you know, I don't think it's universal, but I think it's very, very common that we need to deal with our money things.
Yeah. Well, and one of the interesting factors of what you talked about, self-examination, is that if we look into why we worry about money and why we want to make more money, and yes, there are good, solid, holy reasons for doing that, but if we are at a place where we're making that too important for ourselves, it stems out of fear. It stems out of the fear that there won't be enough. It stems out of the fear that God really doesn't supply our needs, that if we don't do something in order to build up the bank account and the savings and all of that, and as I say savings, I'm laughing to myself, writers with a savings account, but if we don't do everything that we can to build that up, then what will happen to us? Rather than resting in God's provision. We just did a podcast couple of weeks ago or months ago on George Mueller and the power of the praying life that he had, simply trusting God for provision. And whenever there was a need, he would go to God and pray for that specific need and then walk away trusting that God would provide. And he always did. God always did in phenomenal ways. Sometimes just little things trickling in and sometimes big amounts coming in, but always enough to meet the needs that they had and to meet the ministry needs.
I think one of the interesting things about money for me has come from Jeremiah 2:13, and it says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. When I think about how that relates to money, I try to think, well, am I digging my own cistern here?
You know, right, right.
Which parts of this desire for money is me, you know, letting the spirit flow, letting God flow, and which part is me just wanting that cistern, you know,
that, wanting that security.
Right. So yeah. It's always something to wrestle with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I think, you know, having a good friend to talk to and being able to share, like we're not very honest about our feelings around money usually. And so it can be scary to be the person to confess that you want more of it or, you know, live without enough of it or whatever the issue is. So I think, it's very interesting because I agree with everything you're saying, and yet I work really hard.
Yeah, you know? But that's okay,
which we
too.
All do. We all
see, and
yeah, we're
trusting
supposed to work hard. Yeah,
yeah, trusting and resting in God doesn't mean you don't work hard. It means that you don't make that your primary goal, and that you don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is a killer for creativity, for trust in God. When we let anxiety creep into our hearts and our spirit, it'll do harm.
But here's what I do, and this has a little bit to do with that deep place answer. And I am definitely in the middle of, you know, trying to figure this stuff out. But if I am experiencing anxiety or sorrow or fear, my temptation, and I'm not saying you're suggesting this, before would have been to maybe give my, you know, feel badly that I feel badly.
Oh, no,
you
no.
know? And instead, I try to, you know, almost welcome it in and say, what do you have for me? Mm. What is the message you have for me, fear or anxiety? What are you trying to tell me? And, you know, it just kind of adds to the experience we're having in the world. And so again, maybe I keep thinking of the word curiosity. If we can be curious about what is happening in our spirit and in our hearts and not, you know, not feel disappointed in our disappointment or whatever. Don't grieve over our grief. But just, this is part of being a human. And what is this teaching me? And, you know, how can I write about it?
Yeah, right. Right. They say nothing is ever wasted in a writer's economy. So that is exactly that. And there's a big difference between having the feelings and living in the feelings. What a great conversation. What a great exploration of holiness. In our next podcast, we'll be going on with Karen Stiller, and there we'll be talking about holiness in the face of utter devastation. So please join us.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find previous episodes and more resources at writefromthedeep.com.
And I bet you know someone who needs this podcast, so please share it with them.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.